Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to two daughters, Carol Thompson Brown and her sister Ann Thompson Nicholson. They were the daughters of Cleveland and Elizabeth Thompson, who for many years in our community ran Thompson's Market and Thompson's Food Town. We'll have memories of that family right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning as we continue to remember and learn about things and people and places in Jessamine County. Glad to have with us this morning a couple of ladies who, well, I start to say I've known all my life. They actually have known me before I was me, if that makes sense, because they were raised right next door to my grandparents and has known our family for a long time. We have with us today Carol Thompson Brown and Ann Thompson Nicholson. They are sisters. They are two of four children whose parents was Cleveland and Elizabeth Thompson. And we're going to be talking about that family and their contribution to our community in so many ways, especially, and I guess, girls, what most people remember is the food markets, of course, Thompson's Market and Thompson's Food Town, which people nowadays would remember probably more than anything. Good morning. Glad to have both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, we'll start with, I guess, with Cleveland. We first want to figure out how this all got started, because there are so many people in our community that have worked for your parents, shopped with your parents. Thompsons were a part of their lives in so many ways. So let's start by figuring out how their lives started. Let's start with Cleveland. Give us when he was born and where and kind of where he came from.
He was born on April the 16th in 1914 at Buena Vista, Kentucky in Garrett County.
Now that's in Garrett County. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mama was born in Bryantsville on November the 3rd, 1913. She was always chided that she was 6 months older than Dad.
So he was from the western side of Gary, and she was over from the eastern uh-huh. side. Now, did they grow up together? I know.
No, they didn't know each other until she left. She went to Bryantsville to school, and then the high school was at Buena Vista. And so she had to go to high school. And when she walked in that day, we were always told that she said to the other girls there, "You see that guy over there? He's mine. Keep your hands off."
Really?
Yes. That's what we were told.
And from what I knew about Miss Elizabeth, that really doesn't surprise me
That's
too
right.
much. I could see her saying that, but she laid claim quick.
She did. She knew that that was the love of her life right then.
And I guess she told him the same thing.
And he knew it too.
When did they marry?
Well, my grandmother, Minnie Brogel, would not allow Mama to marry until she was 21, so they didn't get married until she was 21.
Oh, so she had to wait.
Uh-huh.
She turned 21 in November. They married in January.
So they were ready.
Their minister at Mount Hebron Baptist Church came from Georgetown to preach, and that's where his home was, and they went to Georgetown to get married. And that was January of 1935. Now, they had graduated from high school in 1932.
All right, so they dated for several years.
Yeah, and there were seven in their graduating class.
Seven.
Two girls. Mama was one of the girls. And five boys.
Wow.
Daddy was one of the boys.
And the Thompson, now let's talk about the Thompson side. They were a pretty good-sized family, if I remember right. Wasn't there several? I know three boys for sure. Was there more?
There was Uncle Junior that went to California.
Yeah.
And he died when he was 38 of a heart thrombosis. And then there was Cecil. And Henry and Daddy Cleveland.
Right.
And then they had a sister named Aunt Lida.
But now, your mom and dad, they got married. And you said 1935?
Uh-huh.
Is that right? You know, after the Depression, but before the war, the big one. What did they do when they got married? What kind of occupation were they in?
They became tenant farmers on Sugar Creek Pike here in Jessamine County. And the first year they lived at and were tenant farmers for Sam and Maggie Mofford. Maggie was Mama's aunt. And the next year, they lived at the sequestered places. When you first turn off of Sugar Creek, off of 27 on Sugar Creek. It's about the second house down on the left. And that's where they lived the second year.
Yeah.
They lived there until they saved $169 so they could open a grocery store. And they moved back to.
Yeah, you all were telling me this story. So they had $169, which in that, what year would that have been?
37.
You know, that was a lot of money.
Right. Well, they didn't think it was a lot of money.
But. Yeah, but $169. But you just told me, Carol, they had to save out $25 for you.
I was born the month after they went into business.
So they had
in the basement of the grocery store.
So, really? So
yes,
they had
that's
to,
where we live.
So they had to pull out $25 uh-huh. so you could come along. So you know you're worth at least that, right?
Right.
We know you're Well, let's go back. We're in 1938 and they're tenant farmers and so I guess they have a dream. Let's save some money and open a grocery store. Is that what they thought?
To go back a little bit, my father was going to be an engineer,
mm-hmm.
and he had saved the money to go to college, and it was a depression.
Yeah.
And he gave all the money to my grandfather to save their farm at Buena Vista.
What about that?
And so.
So he didn't go to college.
He couldn't go to college. The last year, his senior year in high school, he had read every book in the library. They didn't make him do any reports because they knew that he had already read every
right.
book in the library.
Right.
He was an avid reader.
Well, he's wanting to be an engineer. He ends up a tenant farmer. What caused them to even think about running a food market?
Everybody has to eat.
That's what he used to say to us. Everybody has to eat. I don't think that he really was thinking of that as his whole future. He had, after 2 years of tenant farmer, he didn't think he was moving like he should.
Yeah.
So he said, I'll go to Cincinnati and see if I can find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't find a job.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was staying with her mother because she was pregnant with me. And so he wrote back and he said, you think if we rent that little building down at the branch of the two roads, the road that went to Harrington off of US 27, that we could go into business there?
Mm-hmm.
And they said they wanted him to come back. They didn't want my mother to be moved to Cincinnati anyway.
Right.
And so they said, well, we'll see what we can do to help you as much as we can. So they came back and moved into that little store
mm-hmm.
that had a basement that had two rooms in it, and that's where my mother and dad and I went to live.
So you're the oldest.
Yes, and that was July.
And I was
July
okay.
of 1937. They had
okay.
gone into business in June of 1937.
Okay, so we've gotten up to 37. I was going to get, because we want to talk about the kids that came along. So you were the oldest. You were born in the basement of this grocery store.
I was really born at my grandmother's, but they moved me right
they
down
moved you
there.
Right down.
And
okay.
I was told that I was born in the basement. And that
you were?
That I was born
now,
in the
are
basement
you the next in line?
In 1940.
So we have Carol the oldest and second.
Uh-huh.
Now, what year was that?
That was 1940.
Telling your age, but
that's,
you'd be proud of it because everybody ought to be proud that they're on this side of the
right.
at this side of the dirt, right?
That's right.
And 1940. Okay, let's keep on going.
Okay, then
Minnie came along next.
1944.
Now, where was she born?
She was born there
up.
Too.
So we've got three basement kids.
We've got, no. The next we. Daddy. They built a new store and they moved us upstairs over the store. We had bedrooms.
So she was an attic kid.
Yes. We had bedrooms and a living room up over the store, and our kitchen and dining room was downstairs next to the store. Many happy times there with people coming in and visiting and sitting and getting their groceries and having a good time.
And of course, Minnie, and then the fourth one came along.
That was
46.
And Mama had to go to the hospital to have him.
Yeah, and because he was a boy. He was
yes,
wild.
That's right.
He was wild
no,
after
Mama,
these three
Mama
girls.
Mama came close to dying,
oh.
I think, when Minnie was born.
So she had some problems.
They were afraid
so after,
for her.
But after three girls, here comes the boy.
That's right. He's the boy.
And that's C.B. Jr.
Yes, and after that, is Daddy came to over and rented Mrs. Ashley's building where Henron's paint store
yes.
was after that.
Well, before we get too far down that road, let's talk about you four kids, because I want people who especially are listening that are from here to know all the connections. But, we have found that we've got a lot of listeners who aren't from here or they're new and they're learning about
right.
us. So, Carol, you eventually went on to meet a fellow named Charlie Brown, mm-hmm. who, and you guys owned your own food store here also.
She met him at Buena Vista School before we moved over.
Oh,
here.
Really?
I picked him out. I didn't say, girls, keep your hands off of him. But I met him in the second grade at Buena Vista.
Yeah.
When his mother had remarried, and they bought a little place right down below where we lived, and he started going to Buena Vista School, and we went to school through the sixth grade before I moved to Nicholasville.
So you and Charlie were together. Now, real quick, how many children did you have?
We had four.
And let's name them.
We had Jan. That's what everybody knows her as.
Right.
It's Teresa Jan. Then we had Charles Clifford Jr., when we called him Cliff.
Right.
And then when they were 14 and 11, we surprised everybody with twins.
With the twins, yes. Anne and Fran
came along.
So you have the four kids.
That's right.
All right. And then Charlie, like I say, you used to own Charlie Brown's. Was Charlie Brown's, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
And for anybody that wondered, there is now a little Minute Mark type store in there. It's the building of directly across the street from Kroger.
1000 South Main.
Right on the corner. I think Napa has been in there at one time, different things, but that's where I remember
it,
of
course.
That
was our building.
And we talked about this before we were on the air, but I will tell you this story publicly now. It's when I was at NVL, and at 15, 16, 17 years old, I'd do a morning show, and I was hooked on Mountain Dews. That's what kept me going. And I ran out, and one morning on the air, I said, boy, I tell you, I can't hardly get along here. I've run out of Mountain Dews. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the next morning, sitting on the doorstep, was a case of Mountain Dews that Charlie Brown had brought and left for me. And he did that several times, and I've always remembered that and always appreciated. Charlie, great fella. Now, you married a fella named Bob Nicholson.
Yes, your grandmother said to me, Ann, you need to go down to the church because they've got this great song leader down there. He's good looking, too.
My grandmother said this?
Yes.
Dixie Rohr.
Dixie Rohr. She said, Ann, you better go down there before Judy Cox gets him. That's what she
said. Now, she lived across. Yeah, you're talking about Alexine Cox's daughter,
yes.
Judy. Now, tell you, my grandparents lived next door to your parents or your house.
Yes.
Okay, on Greenwood. So she told you, was it Bob?
Yes.
I didn't know he did that.
Yes. Silas Duggins.
I remember Silas.
Bob was going to Asbury, and he decided not to go home. And they got him on
measuring. Because he's from Florida, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And he was. They got him to measuring tobacco for the state. And they told him about this job that they needed, a part-time song leader. And so he was at the revival, during the revival there. So I went over, and I met him. 5 months later, we got married.
Well, I never knew Bob did that in his life,
right.
But that's how, well,
yes,
wow. So
I mean.
Dixie was the matchmaker.
Right, did you? Dixie
so
was
every that. Time that you've gotten mad at Bob over these years,
I
under your breath,
Dixie.
You say something about Granny Rohr.
But, I want to skip back 1 minute. When we moved over here the first year we went to school, we walked to school with your mother.
Yeah.
Your mother took us. It wasn't helicopter parents hovering over everybody and saying to get here.
Yeah.
We walked from Brown Street to the school and with Ruth Ann.
Now she, let's see, she's 2 years older than you, I think. She was born 35.
She don't want to admit that, but she is.
Oh, I'll tell you, and she's proud that she'll be 81 next month. Yeah. So she's a little bit older than you. So then we went on to Minnie. Now Minnie was married to Gordon Cobb, who is still around working.
Oh, let me tell you,
concrete.
I've got kids.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You've got, yes, don't forget. Thank you.
Kimberly Jo.
You have three.
Crystal Renee.
Yes.
And Claire Nicole.
And see, Kim's a year older than me. Chris was a year younger than me. And how old is Nikki?
Nikki is 43.
Yeah, goes quick,
she's,
doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, 43.
I forgot to ask, too. How many grandkids you got now, Carol?
I've got 7 grandchildren.
Yeah.
Only one is a boy.
And only one boy.
6 girls.
Wow, you can handle that.
Well, that's fine, but I have also got great-grandchildren.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've got 6 great-grandchildren.
Oh, gracious. Now, have you caught up to that?
I've got 7.
You got
no great-grandchildren.
You got 7 grandchildren. Yeah.
And
she rolls her eyes as she looks at Carol. So Minnie gets married to Gordon.
Now, Minnie goes to a 4-H rally day.
Yeah.
And she comes home and she says, she's in the 5th or 6th grade.
Uh-huh.
I met the boy that I'm going to marry. He's the song leader for Crispin Mill, 4-H. His name's Gordon Cobb.
Wow. And Gordon, for all those people out there, it was a brother to Phyllis Bradshaw and Linda Downing,
right.
And Robin Hazelbring. So there's another big connection into a big family there.
Right.
And they had two sons, right? Wesley and Martin?
Wesley and Martin. And Martin lives in Ohio, and Wesley, we just saw him a few minutes ago. He was going out right then.
And
right.
Minnie, for many years, worked at the store, didn't she?
She was for a long time
yeah.
worker.
What year did we lose Minnie?
92.
2002.
2002. 2002.
Yeah. So then the little boy came along, CB, that everybody yeah. knows him at, and yeah. he, and I said mistakenly that my grandparents lived next door to your house. He didn't, because there was a house in between them, Earl Hall uh-huh. and his wife, and CB married one of their children.
Patrice.
Yeah, so they grew up next door to each other. He uh-huh. he didn't have to go to 4-H camp or look at any kind of church. Yeah. He just looked at the next door neighbor.
They were just there.
Yeah.
And she was working. She worked at the store as a cashier.
Yeah, and I think my mother babysat all of those kids, yeah. too, so there's
was,
a lot of connection.
And their children are Tevis, Tessa, and Tyler.
Yeah. It's a big family, and yeah. You show me some pictures there of just some of them. Okay, we've got the family out of the way now. Let's talk more about the store. At some point in time, and you alluded to it, they left the one over there, and they got on Main Street in Nicholasville. Now, Hendren's paint store was in there in modern times. There was Brewers was there for a little while in the last year or two. It's closed right now, but that's where they first opened their market, and it was called Thompson's Market, right?
Thompson's Market.
And that would have been what year?
Daddy always said it was the December the 7th of 1947.
Okay.
47.
And you know when that opened? I mean, that was your typical market.
And I think that's probably right, because I was 10 years old when that happened.
But that was the kind, probably, like we have heard of other places around town, mm-hmm. where the people brought their list in, and you would fill their list,
they would
go do other shopping, or uh-huh. you'd deliver it to their house, or just a normal, old-time grocery store.
Yes.
Now, it sat there on Main, and next door was Cumley's
grocery store.
At the same time?
At the same time, and he had a great place. He sold comic books, and he would sell you a new comic book, and it would be like 10 cents.
Yeah.
And the next week, you could go in and sell it back for 5 cents, and you could buy another comic book. It was just great for the kids.
What? You're talking about Comley's? Next door.
Yes. Right. And then it became a cream station where I think Miss Robinson ran the cream station.
See, this is what has amazed me, and I've brought this up on this program many times. Back in those days, when you specifically looking at the late 40s, 50s, 60s even, is how many stores downtown sold the same thing.
Yes.
The grocery stores and the gas stations and the clothing stores, I mean, it was amazing, and they all survived.
Right.
And that's just,
that's just the way it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Of course, you didn't have the malls,
right.
And I guess when Cleveland and Henry decided to go out and develop Edgewood Plaza way out in the country, mm-hmm. because even I can remember when it was a cornfield,
right,
past Edgewood Baptist Church, you were in the country when
That's
you got
right.
to that point, that people just thought, oh my gosh, what is this? We you don't do that. You don't go out in the country and buy all these things. And of course, now that's just second nature. When he moved over to what was Cumley's, now your husband tore that down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charlie tore that down.
Demolished that. Yeah.
And they built back the buildings that's there now.
Yeah, uh-huh. Where the Wicker Basket
is.
Yeah, which used to be Von Groningen's Hardware.
Right.
After it was up here on this block where the Tom Lockridge uh-huh. office is now. That's what I remember, is when it was in the old Von Groningen store.
Right.
You know, that's where I remember my mom doing her shopping, and I remember your mother checking out the items. She uh-huh. didn't scan them. She punched them in. And they rolled down this little conveyor belt to be bagged up to take out to your car.
Probably by one of the Blackfoot boys. Every Blackfoot boy
worked there. A lot of people worked,
yes,
I guess.
But the Blackfoot boys were.
So they did that. Now, at what point, if you remember, what point and why did it decide, okay, let's go build this shopping center out here?
Well, Doug, back in the 50s, people came to town on Saturday, and they had their assigned parking place. They visited up and down the...
Yeah.
And it was getting to where there just wasn't enough parking space, even though we had parking in the back of our store.
Right.
There just wasn't enough parking space. And Daddy just had this vision that they should build a bigger store.
Where you could park.
And also, he talked my mother into it. She never liked to go into debt. But he said, we could build a big shopping center out there. And she said, all I want is a church where everybody can go to church, because Nicholasville Baptist at that time was having two services because it was so large.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And she said, I want a church where everybody can go. I want a good grocery store and a good drug store. So he talked Joe McMurtry.
Now, at that time, was he with Buddy at Hemp Hills?
Yes, Buddy was going to come, and then they finally decided.
So they decided to split. And that's what caused that, was the decision to go build into Edgewood Plaza.
And each one of them kept the same.
And Edgewood Plaza was born with the anchors. Now, did the Plaza come first or Edgewood Baptist? Do you remember?
Oh, the Plaza.
The Plaza.
The Plaza started with Charlie and mine and Ann's and Bob's first building. We were the first building out there. Ann, tell them about that.
We had a dairy bar and the laundromat.
Oh, my gosh, yes. On the
Edgewood
Drive.
And you could walk
drive.
Up to the window. It wasn't a come in and sit down dairy bar. You could walk up to the window and order ice cream or something off the grill. And you could come in from the laundromat side and order while you were in the laundromat. That was quite an adventure.
Well, and you know, there are so many. Memories that I have of stores out there. You know, we could do probably a whole show just on that.
Just on the stores. Yeah.
When you look at that and you start thinking about Thompson's Food Town in its original location, where, in fact, that location is where this radio station first was when it started on the air back a couple of years ago. But then the Drug Mart. And I guess now Drug Mart is the longest operating business there. Right. It was original. And, of course, it's run. Joe is gone, but Ben Doyle has it, and it continues. And I remember, of course, the stores I remember is when you go to the south of that was the Lee's Menswear, H&H, with Hardesty. And then you had Josephine Phillips, and next to the Village Shop was what it was called, wasn't it? And, of course, Lad and Lass with Norma and Ransel and Beulah Thompson, and Mom worked there. And then you go the other way. You had a place.
I did. I had
the Gift Peddler for many years. Uh-huh. And then that really booked right along. All of those did. But I guess it wasn't big enough.
Yeah. So you get caught in between. You're not small enough. You're not big enough.
Yeah. So how many years did Food Town, and that's what it was called when it went there, right? Thompson's Food Town? How many years did it operate in the original spot? In Edgewood Plaza.
Daddy died in 83. The building was being worked on at the time he had his heart attack. And it was finished, and it was opened in 84. So, really, Gordon and Bob really did the overseeing and the work on the building.
But that's the one where it was at the end.
At the very end.
But
the other one down there.
The first
when
one.
When we moved out there, it would have been moved into in 71 and moved out of it. In 84.
Yeah.
So about 13 years.
Yeah.
And that's where most people remember and worked.
Right.
So many people worked for you guys and then in bagging
groceries.
Oh, just amazing. And that list, if you could compile that list, you would have an amazing list. But I guess at that time, Cleveland and Elizabeth decided, well, we need a bigger place. So they went up past where you were.
Right.
Towards the church. And built the latest Thompson's Food Town. Now, your daddy passed away in 83 while that was being built. Your mom continued to run that along with you family members.
Right. We left in 86. And CB had closed the store in Garrett County that he had at Shopping Center in Garrett County in Lancaster. And he came
Pleasant
over.
Retreat.
Uh-huh. And he came over. And Bob went into real estate.
Yeah.
And the store stayed in... I'm trying to think, 91, 93. Since I wasn't in it, I don't know the exact date.
And I don't know it either because I had my own store
across the street.
So,
what's your all's best memory growing up in the grocery business?
One of the things I loved was on Saturday when the people from the country would come to town.
Yeah.
You could almost tell what time it was by the time those people came through a line because they were... organized, and then they would go over and usually sit in front of the courthouse and visit. One of my other favorite things is Charlie Mandine. He would come in and to buy something, and we always had counter checks, and he would just reach for a counter check, and he would write his name. He was notorious for being able to write his whole name and cover it up with a dime, and he'd say, Ann, after he wrote sign, Ann, get your dime out and see if I did it right.
But because he wrote so small.
He did, but you could tell it said C. M. Dean.
But you just said something that most people that are listening are like, What?
Like they say, counter check.
At your store, you yes. had checks sitting there waiting for people to
right,
use.
Right, with no account numbers on them or anything. You just, it was a First National, a pad of First National checks and a pad of Farmers Bank checks. And
because that's just, what we had.
That's right. And they just wrote their check out. And
they signed it, and it went through without any.
It went through.
Isn't that amazing? In times have changed so much.
And the people were just, they were just great people.
Yeah.
Daddy was bothered by people that would go through the trash out back. He said, no one should go, I don't want people going through my garbage because they're hungry and they've got to have some dignity.
Yeah.
And so he would have me fix boxes of produce and that was maybe had spots on it. And he would say, I put a price on it, Dan, 25 to 50 cents. And he said, you let the people bargain you down. They'll bargain you down to where they can afford to buy it. And they'll have the dignity they paid for that food.
What about that?
And that was something that always stood out in my mind.
And another thing I will always remember about your parents is you didn't open on a Sunday.
Right. Didn't open on Sunday.
In fact, I even have heard him say, if you can't make it in six, you don't need seven.
That's right.
So as far, you know, the Sunday you just didn't buy groceries at Thompson's Food Town. You get to go somewhere else.
That's right.
Yeah. What's some of you, what's your best memory, Carol, growing up in the store business?
I guess it's when you grow up in it, that's the only life you know. But even back to when they were out in Garrett County in the country, it was a place where people came and just visited.
Right.
And they would buy a Coke from us, which was 5 cents.
Yeah.
But then they would match with Daddy to see who was going to pay for it.
When I was in high school, I got paid 50 cents an hour. But you could buy candy bars or Cokes for 5 cents each or six for a quarter.
Yeah.
So it worked out just fine.
It's amazing. If we only knew and had a way to keep track of how many people has shopped at that place over the years, and how many Thanksgiving dinners had been fixed because, or any dinner fixed because of food out of that place, it would be probably just startle your mind, because for so many years, so many people went to Thompson's Food Town and Thompson's Market. Now I'm going to ask you the hardest question that you'll have all day. Both of you will get to answer this, and, it'll get easier because you will have heard it. We're going to talk about Cleveland. In one word, describe your dad. As a dad, not as a businessman, but as a dad.
I don't know whether I can describe him in one word. I can't describe him in one word. He wanted the best. My main memory of Daddy is saying, you cannot read that. You cannot read that one. You can't read that magazine. What you fill your mind with is what your mind will be.
Yeah.
And so you are going, and he was big on us reading. We read all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wanted us to read things that improved us.
Yeah, yeah.
I think improvement is the word.
That's good. What about you, Carol?
Well, it's, as Ann said, there's hardly one word to describe Dad. I have made the statement to friends and church members that everybody's big on this love situation. I cannot remember my father ever saying, Carol, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no doubt in my mind for all of my life that he did.
He
wanted what was best for us. And he thought that us girls were supposed to have goals just like boys did.
Mm-hmm.
When Daddy died, Brother Two asked somebody in the family to write something about him, that, and I wrote about the thing, but what I wrote was 90% of my inheritance came the day I was born to Cleveland Elizabeth Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
I was blessed with great parents.
Well, let's continue on then. Give us a word or two to describe Miss Elizabeth.
She had unconditional love.
Yeah. Carol?
She would stand by you, through thick or thin.
Same for you?
Yes. She was a worker, if there was ever a worker in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And she brought it out in a children. Ann was just speaking the other day about never missing school, and she was when she was in school. Mama's theory was that you couldn't say, "I don't feel well today. I think I'll stay home." Get up, you'll feel better.
Yeah, you're gonna feel better.
Yeah. Well, I will have to say, as our time dwindles down here, that of course, you know, our families have known each other for so very long. As you mentioned, my mom walking you to school. I mean, you guys go way, way back. The yeah. Thompsons and the Roars, especially, go way back. And
yes, they first neighbors.
They were
the first neighbors.
And that's of course. And there's always been a great feeling from our family to your mom and dad, and they were great friends to my grandparents, and as was Henry and Beulah too, and I guess Cecily. Maybe I remember my granddad talking about your Uncle Cecil, yes. Cecil Thompson, the contribution that has been made. You know, we all get to a point somewhere in history where we're forgotten. I mean, that happens, but we hope that people that are listening will not forget the community involvement and contribution that the Thompsons have made in this situation, especially in helping to develop that shopping center, which still goes today and has grown and grown and grown. The church itself, you showed me a picture of the groundbreaking with Cleveland and Henry and my granddaddy and Henry Sandage, and that church still goes today. And a lot of people touched by the Thompsons and the food town itself, and just like you were talking about marking the produce down, a lot of people touched in ways that most people wouldn't even know about. And so it's a blessing that we've had these two people come to our community and contribute what they did. And I appreciate you guys and your contributions too, because you did it as a whole family. That's the thing. It wasn't just your dad. It wasn't just your. It was the whole bunch of you. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate you sharing with us.
Thank you.
My thanks to Carol and Ann for coming in and sharing their memories and the history of the Thompson family and what they meant to our community. We appreciate you tuning in every Saturday morning for All Things Jessamine. We enjoy doing this for you as we learn more about our county and our heritage. And we do it all for you right here on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.